Hey, welcome to On The Mic. My name is Mike Goldman, and joining me on the show this episode is a TV legend. He's hosted shows like The Mole,
legend.
Warner Brothers Kids. He's hosted golfing shows, football shows. He's even a wedding celebrant. He's one of the best sporting encyclopedias that I know.
Oh,
and he's my mate as well, ladies and gentlemen, Sherwin Taft.
Oh, yes! Thank you very much. I didn't know you get a crowd for this as well.
Yeah, I do. They're cool, aren't they? Hi, everyone.
Hey, hello.
They're all your fans. I just got them off your Facebook
They follow
page.
Me off the street.
Apollo Hotel, I said that you're going to be here, and like we couldn't fit them all in.
This is a sweet pad you've
it's
got.
It's crazy. Here, you're looking pretty slick, man.
Yes, I've just been hosting something this morning, so I don't normally dress like this. I want you to know that.
And how was Father's Day?
I got spoiled.
Yeah?
I got genuine. My wife nailed it this year. She got me in the morning. I got up. I got to make everyone breakfast. That's my benefit.
Oh, nice!
Like, here you go. Sure, you can make breakfast for your family, but that's all right. I enjoy that. And then she gave me a couple of presents, some stubby holders with my son's face on it, which I thought was kind of cute. She said, "She goes, do you want to start a little tradition where every year I give you a stubby holder with Ed's face on it?" And I was like, "I don't think so."
Good way to push him towards alcoholism.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't drink. I drink a few beers, but most of my beer drinking happens outside the house. But stubby holders are cute. That was cute. And then a book called "I Love My Daddy" that my son got to read.
Nice.
And then she'd booked me in for a massage. But the big treat was she'd organised with my two of my best mates and their wives to do a brunch. But none of the guys were in on it, so we were all going, "Oh, okay, here we go. We're going for a catch up." And then hey, and then we all sat down, had a brunch for
you must
kids.
Be the most fun dad. Like this morning, you were hosting a show bag event for the Royal Melbourne Show. You must have some show bags.
Yeah,
to take
there's a couple of show bags in the car. Birdie Beetle, that's one of the great ones.
That's the hero show bag.
Do you know what I only found out recently? Birdie Beetles. Do you know what Birdie Beetles are?
They're just chocolate.
Yeah, but you know, like,
they were never actually beetles.
They're left. So the violet, when violet crumbles are made, all the stuff that's left over, like the crumbs off them, becomes birdie beetles.
No
they
way.
Melt them into it. That's the birdie beetle.
I wonder if there's a smaller chocolate as well, like maybe Smarties that are made from birdie beetles. Birdie beetle poo.
That's birdie beetle poo. Yeah, correct. That's exactly right.
Well, you're having fun in Melbourne here. Is it a good place to live? Is it really Australia's most livable city?
Well, it's no longer the world's most livable city. We're now number two to
How did it get that title? Did you see the video that Tom Gleeson did recently where he said, "It hasn't even got a train from the airport."
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, there's trams everywhere. Which way are they going? The weather's cold. There's no decent beach.
Look, all those things are true.
Why is it livable?
It's a very easy... It genuinely is a very easy place to live. There's a lot of cities in Australia I love visiting and going to, particularly Sydney and obviously Brisbane and Adelaide and all the other places. But Melbourne, I find it very easy. I've always found it...
Livable's not a good term, though, is it?
Nah, it's a bit...
Oh, what's Melbourne like? Oh, it's livable.
Yeah, it's just so livable.
Like, why don't they have, an awesome city chart?
Yeah, well, we've got a lot of... Okay, you've got a lot of food, cafes. That's definitely there.
The food
I've
is the best
said
in Australia.
Definitely, if you are someone who is very beachy, then yes, we don't have the best beaches, but we have beaches. They do exist. You might just you might catch a disease from one of the pinpricks you get off a needle, but if you're ready for that,
go down there to pick up all your medical supplies.
We get hot in summer, we get cold in winter. Everyone gets upset about the cold. If you can deal with some cold, if you're from Brisbane, I know a lot of people don't like
it. I went for a run this morning. It was 9 degrees. It's beautiful.
Crisp.
Just up near the Melbourne Museum, across the road from Avalo.
If you want to live in Europe, we talk about livable cities in Europe. They're freezing in winter.
Man, I just drove from Russia to Mongolia and all the European countries. Like in some parts of Russia, it gets to minus 40.
Yeah, that's right.
How do you handle that?
So you can't complain the cold here. Oh, look, I just think I find it very easy. I'm fiercely loyal to Melbourne. I was born in London. I came here when I was six. And London's the sort of place where you've got to defend it as well because it's cold most of the year. When summer reaches 25 degrees, they're literally running out into paddling pools and go, "Oh my God, it's a heat wave."
Have you still got family in London?
I've got a few family friends and whatnot, but no, most of my family's back.
Do you have an opinion on Brexit?
I'm shattered about it because I've got a British passport. You still probably can. I'll be interested to see how that works. But look, it doesn't really affect
Nigel Farage, the face of Brexit coming to Australia. Well,
we were
all over the TV talking about it today.
I can tell you, we were there. We were on a honeymoon when Brexit was all happening. So we were there for the vote.
Uh-huh.
And the overall consensus was it won't happen. Like we were talking to people going, "Look, it's happening." You know, it's
75%.
It's the Trump thing.
Said yes, they wanted it.
It's the Trump thing. Like when you're like, it won't really happen. He won't actually become president. We were like, Brexit won't happen. We went to bed genuinely going, we'll wake up and it won't have happened. And you woke up it's come 55, 45, whatever it was.
But you got most of the politicians in Parliament are saying they don't want it and they're making it really hard now. Theresa May is being really, really difficult about it.
Yeah.
And there's a few politicians that led the way, like Mr. Farage.
Mr. Farage and Boris Johnson.
Pushing it big time.
But there's a reason why. why. The reason is, and having been there when it was happening, I can tell you for certain, they sold so many lies. And this is the problem. It's the same with Trump. And I know we're not going to get super political here. But
no, we can be political.
They sell the lie. And so front page of the paper was NHS scam. But they were talking about how the NHS was going to cost, you know, $160 million and all those pounds or whatever it was. And it was actually all untruths, but didn't matter because the newspapers were running it, and a lot of people just get their news from that. They don't really sort of look across all forms of media, and so
just fake news.
And it's like, you know, refugees coming in and they're ruining the thing, and they would shut it off. And I don't think people actually realize the impact that it would have on their lives. And a lot of people were like, actually, can we go again? Because I reckon if they revoted now, that Brexit wouldn't happen.
Do you think it was just scare politics?
Yep, massively.
That's what happened in America. Yep. Donald Trump goes around here scaring everyone.
But we're
Americans are paranoid enough as it is.
We're doing well. Australia, I hold out hope at the moment.
What do you mean? Look what just happened recently with the Liberal Party just all turned to shit.
I understand that.
Like, what the hell happened there? Was it just Tony Abbott like starting a secret backroom war to try and take
over? If it was really going to go the way of the other places, we'd have Dutton as our Prime Minister. I'm not saying
Lord
I'm
Voldemort.
Huge fan of Scott Morrison, but like if that had happened, and then
they done too much
one
damage?
Nation can't win a seat. Sorry,
have they done too much damage now? Will ScoMo and the Liberal Party lose out?
Yeah, I think so. I think ScoMo's like.
But then we've got to have Shorten.
That's not better, is it?
No personality.
Can someone become a politician with a bit of like
Clive Palmer?
You'd be great.
Would you vote for me?
Vote for Goldman. For Goldman.
Go for gold.
Yeah,
that could be my political slogan.
No, it'd be go for gold, comma man.
You know what I noticed here in Melbourne? There's Clive Palmer signs everywhere. No. Like he's got massive digital billboards of him doing the hero pose and showing off that awesome body.
Yeah, he's ripped.
And he's saying, you know, what is it? Make Australia great
Make
again.
Australia.
He's like
well,
pretty
he's
much
off that. And can I say, I think one in three of those billboards are defaced. So that says everything you need.
Well,
to
that's
know
probably
about.
Why he's doing more of the digital ones now because people go to deface it and they're like, oh to TV.
Damn it!
But that guy's still going. Like he's
not really
so much shit.
He's a kook.
He reckons
man.
He'll be back at the next election.
He's a kook.
Opening his mine again.
I'd be very surprised.
You've been to his resort?
No, but I've had mates play at his golf course, and all over his golf course, there's dinosaurs and weird things. Like he's just a genuine kook.
Because you're a golf nut. You've hosted golf shows.
Yes, in fact, there's a little chance that might be coming back. We'll see. Fingers crossed. Which would be good.
Well, did you see in the paper today, there was a golfer who was teeing off and he hit the boundary rope when he was teeing off.
Right.
And the pin came out of the ground and impaled his leg.
What?
Yeah. It was in the news today.
He hit the
Colorado golfer learned the hard way when he was warming up for an event at Greenlee Country Club just north of Denver. You probably played there.
Sounds delicious.
Taking practice swings with his wedge, and then the club head caught a rope line that was pinned to the ground with bolts,
right?
And apparently that forced his swing to rip one of the bolts out of the ground, sent it spiraling into his leg and pierced his bone. Ouch.
Well, that's a bit of a serve you right kind of moment.
And here's a photo of it right now.
And here we go. We've got John on the line. John, tell us how you're feeling.
You ever done any golfing injuries?
I have, because there is a way in which if you take your a stroke and, you know, because sometimes the ball's not always sitting perfectly on the fairway. Mm. Often I'm in the trees. And you can hit a root of a tree or whatever else, and it can ricochet. And I've hit myself in the shins a couple of times. I haven't been hit by a ball. I've seen people. In fact, a funny story, and it's not funny for the person who it was involved with, but very early getting into golf, and I'm at a local public golf course, a bit like Moore Park, but down here. And this guy runs up. I'm with two of my mates. This guy runs up and goes, "Do you boys mind if I play through?" And we were like, "Yeah, no worries, you can play through." But there was an old couple who just hit off, who were just on the thing. And we're thinking, is he going to wait for these guys or not? So puts the ball on the ground, hits the ball, and he's like, "Oh, God." And it's genuinely like a laser beam at this guy.
Yeah.
It just hits him in the back of the neck. He just crumbles to the ground. And the guy looks at us and goes, "Oh, shit." And just runs off the course.
Oh.
Literally runs off.
You ever been hit by a ball in the head?
No, not yet. Look out. Anyway, by the way, the old guy was okay.
What's your handicap?
I'm sitting at 10 at the moment.
That's pretty good.
It's not too bad.
You know, I got a couple of friends like Damien Tomlinson. Do you know him?
Yeah.
He was from Hacksaw Ridge.
Yes.
And he actually plays off scratch.
Wow.
He's got no legs and he's a brilliant golfer.
Yeah, yeah. Was he in Survivor?
Yeah, Australian Survivor.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, is Top he off leg. Scratch, is he?
Yeah.
Because there's another guy called Mike Rolls who's also a double amputee. He's also a big golfer. I know he's a big golfer.
I was trying to get him to team up and do the legless golf day for charity.
Yeah, well, I should.
I've got no legs. Let's do it.
Legless golf day. I like it.
And if you beat them, you win a prize. And you, there's not much of a chance you'll beat them because they're pretty amazing.
I don't know if you guys know Jack Newton, golfing icon in Australia. Yeah. Now, he has one arm.
Yeah.
Now, do you know how he got? How, do you know he lost his arm? Yeah. Drunk on a tarmac while an aeroplane cuts his arm off, and he plays off. He was off single figures
with one arm. Yeah.
He could beat me with one arm. That makes amazing. You feel crap, doesn't it?
Yeah, he, my dad interviewed him once and said, "You got any advice for anyone playing golf out there?" And he goes, just one piece of advice I give people now, watch where you're walking. That's a good piece of advice.
Mate, there's
snakes everywhere.
With
the golf show. I hope that comes back.
Yeah, and so do I.
You posted some cool shows over the years. The internationally acclaimed show, The Mole.
Yes.
Was that fun?
That was amazing. That was amazing. I have very fond memories of that. That was my first foray into kind of your primetime world.
Yeah.
And, you know, made by Fremantle Media, who make a lot of the big shows in Australia and the world. And, you know, we had a crew of thousands. We went up and down the east coast of Australia. I mean, we literally had a catering bus with us. Every day, this bus
it's
would open
so
up.
Good,
the guy
isn't
would
it?
Cook up, like, unbelievable feasts and cakes and the coffee machine. I know, how is me being excited about that? And
when
to
you
show?
Have a primetime show, they just roll it on out. They give you bottles of champagne after every show when the ratings are good.
I didn't talk to a person. I sat in my own chair. No, it was... well, that's the thing. The ratings, unfortunately, for us weren't that good. So we didn't survive more than the season that I did, which was very sad. But... it was a lot of fun. I got to play Puppet Master. You know what it's like, Mike? You get to sort of control a little
mess
bit.
With people's minds.
Mess with their minds.
But you were showing up in like speedboats and helicopters.
Oh, yeah. We had helicopters. We had speedboats. We had aerial planes where they had to go in and do sort of... It was a lot of fun. It was like being a big kid, really.
And you did a skydiving show? I just thought I googled this guy just before he came in.
Nothing like being Googled.
And you're like screaming at people when you're jumping out of a plane. Yeah. What the hell was that? Was that skydiving championship?
Yeah, it was the Australian National Skydiving. I've done some weird things. You know, this is the weird and wonderful world of being a presenter, as you know, having come from the show bag tent of the Melbourne show this morning. But yeah, no, the skydiving, that was the Australian National Skydiving Award. Australian National Champs, yeah. And they wanted me to do the first piece of camera from the air.
Why
and
not?
The funny thing was, when they first got me to the job, they were like, great, you keen to do a jump? And I was like, yeah, I'll do a jump, no worries. And they were like, great, well, we're going to get you up there the first day. We're going to teach you how to jump, and then you'll jump out. And I'm like, no, not by myself.
Yeah, you were strapped to someone.
3 weeks before my wedding. And I was like, I can't do it. No, they wanted me to do it by myself.
What?
Because apparently you can learn in a day.
No, you can't.
And then you jump, and then there's two guys with you, and then you let go, and then you just guide your shoot down. But I'm like, I don't know about this. So no, I did it with someone on my back, thankfully. And it was a lot of fun.
I got bought a skydive for my birthday party from an ex-girlfriend who clearly didn't like me. And
she bought you the jump but no parachute.
she did it too. When we were going up in the plane, like you're strapped to this guy, and they're all laughing, all the instructors at some private joke
planes.
Going on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hang on a minute, I'm about to risk my life. Mm. I do not want any private jokes happening here. And they go, we'll tell you when we land. No. And they go, no, you don't need this, nothing. And so anyway, we're on the bus going back to the airport after doing this amazing jump, which get the crap out of me. And I said, what are you guys laughing about in the plane? It's going, oh, George here, he's a massive fan of yours. And he's gay. And he actually has a photo of you in his locker at the airport. And I got to the airport and it was literally there. And he made me sign it. And I'm like strapped to this dude. And he's like, okay.
That's better than the joke being, okay, we got to the bottom. By the way, we didn't strap you in properly. We wanted to see if you'd make it to the bottom.
Not that ripcord.
Don't pull that.
Hey, mate, how's the Hawthorn Hawks going? I think you're fourth on the ladder.
Finished fourth.
You've won like last five games or something like that.
Yeah, we won a few. I think we won four of the last five. And we play Richmond, who are the overall favourites for the flag, won the flag last year. We play them on Thursday night this week. And you never know, finals footy, you never know.
How do you enjoy being the courtside MC?
I love it.
I say courtside because I didn't see the Kings.
Change your game.
The oval MC on the ground.
Change your game. I love it. I mean, I barrack for Hawthorn and I'm there every home game talking to the players on the ground and playing games with, it's a lot of fun. It's like this industry as a whole, as a presenter, whether that means you're in television, radio, an MC, whatever, celebrant, like it throws you so much variety. That's the best thing. You do voiceovers, all that stuff.
Yeah.
My friends, yes, we don't work 9-to-5 jobs.
We host some weird shit.
We do some weird
shit. I'm hosting the Peter Allen Festival this weekend.
I've hosted the Sausage King Awards. Beat that. The Sausage King, the best sausage maker in Australia.
You are the Sausage King.
You are the Sausage King. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun. But no, the Hawthorn stuff's great, mate. I love it. I mean, I live for all that sports stuff. As you know, we talked a lot we were lucky enough to be at the Commonwealth Games.
Man, was that the best gig or
great
what?
Gig.
You're working there for Channel 7 and also Facebook, and Facebook set up their studio at the Commonwealth Games.
Yep.
And it was so cool to work with, you know, one of the biggest companies on earth.
I was going to say so cool to work with one of the biggest companies.
Work with you as well. I mean, what's great about this guy is he's a sporting encyclopedia. Like, you'd have someone come in that had won the badminton and you go, oh, you know what? I love badminton. You know, I remember back in 1998 in the World Championships when Stevie Thomas, he did that. And I'm like, what?
And then Mike's going, now what colour underpants do you wear?
Oh, I got all the best sporting questions. Don't worry about that.
To be perfectly honest with you, mate, I'll be honest with you. I was very honoured to work with you. I'm a big fan of your work and to be able to do that. And what was nice was we have different styles, and that's what.
Yeah, that's what worked.
It worked well. You know, your irreverence and craziness and whatnot. But no, that was a lot of fun. I mean, not just the sporting people came on. We had Troy Cassidaly come on. We had Peter Beattie came on, and we had chefs and. But all the athletes in particular, like being there in and amongst it, you were at the beach volleyball a lot of days, getting the vibe of what was going on down there. Then we had those girls on, and it was funny because they were sort of not really friendly. The Australians didn't really like the Canadians, I think it was.
Yeah, that was a bit strange, wasn't it?
It was a bit strange. They'd just beaten them, and then you had the gold and silver medalists there, like kind of going, yeah, well done to you, and it was a bit of tension.
There was so much tension, and I even felt a bit of tension when we interviewed the Opals.
The Opals, yeah.
Well, and they're all the same team.
Well, yeah, but Liz Cambridge and what's her name, Alice Kunek, I think have history, if you will.
I think they even brought it up during the interview.
Yeah, no, well, I don't know if they brought
still
it up.
Going it came, on about yeah. it. Like, there was a few little snide comments, but you're from basketball royalty.
Well, I'm not from it.
Well, yeah, well, you're married into it.
I've married into it. So I had a connection with the basketball world there. They were on fire. They'd just won. They'd had a few drinks. That was a good interview. That was fun.
Yeah, that was cool.
It was a lot of fun. But the Comm Games, I mean, to me, that was like the ultimate, being inside the kind of the inner sanctum of this sporting tournament, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah, totally.
Like, yes, we all know, we're all aware it's not the world, it's not the Olympic Games, and you haven't beaten America and Russia and China and da-da-da. Mm. But really, it's a good feeling.
Did you work at the Olympics or anything like that?
No, I'd love to, like in the future, fingers crossed, I'd love to do an Olympic Games. I think that would be the ultimate. Well, imagine doing what we did at the Olympic Games.
I worked at Sydney 2000. Yep. It was amazing, doing the Paralympic Games.
Wow.
And I was the paralytic games every night after that. But it's the most fun event, and it's such a cool thing to get involved in. And the next one is the Tokyo Games.
Yeah, that'd be good.
And Greg Bowman and the team from Great Big Events, who you probably worked with hosting different sporting events around the place, they're going for the presentation, and they did the presentation for the Commonwealth Games.
Yeah, right.
So what sport would you want to work on if you ended up getting a gig there? Well, and golf, I'll send this to him.
Golf's in the Olympics.
This is your audition.
Yes, yeah, and Greg, if you're watching.
Surfing and skateboarding is in the Olympics as well.
And basketball is now 3-on-3.
Isn't that crazy? Where did that come from?
What people don't realise, I only knew this because now that, you know, I'm sort of in the basketball world, if you will, is that 3-on-3 is actually played by a lot more countries than 5-on-5. Now, if you actually think about the Olympic Games, 5-on-5 basketball, it's always America, Australia, some of the African countries, Canada, whatever. But really, it's not like a lot of Asia aren't in there. There's a heap of Europe that aren't in there. So really, the 3-on-3 is a more popular game around the world. So watch this space. It's in the next games.
Hey, and Sydney Kings beat Melbourne United on Saturday night.
Bogut.
But the night before, we got beaten by Melbourne United. But yeah,
and did you see there's another Melbourne team coming back?
Yes. And then there's like this big announcement, like the NBA and the NBL teaming up to put in some training academy here in Melbourne.
Look, basketball's in a good place. I'll be interested to see what my son ends up doing. I mean, his grandfather's obviously a very experienced basketball coach.
And Brian Jordan.
Gorjan. He's a legend of the game. So there'll be a little bit of a pull towards basketball. But the fact is that basketball is growing back into the sport that it was in the early 90s. It just had a period there where it was very unpopular. Mm. The interesting thing is most of my friends are into the NBA.
Yeah.
The NBL just struggled a bit to catch that vibe. But now it's got a really good product. Bogut's playing. Yeah. In fact, Joe Ingles tweeted this morning, I think, something about a joke. He jokingly said about this second Melbourne team. He's like, great, now I can choose from two teams when I come back tomorrow. Like, he'll come back and play NBL.
Paddy Mills has said recently as well he wants to come back and play for a team eventually. I wonder if they'll all end up doing the same deal as Bogut. I mean, I think they released to the media, I hope I'm not speaking out of school here, that Bogut's starting off with 10% of the team with an option to buy up to 50. And there's new owners in there that have come in and they've got 51% at the moment. And it's great to have someone who has got such a great background. I mean, he was in the NBA, 15 years or something?
Yeah,
crazy?
Yes. Oh, I mean, he was the number one draft pick. I mean, he's won championships with the Golden State Warriors. Yeah. And I mean, he's done it all. Having guys like that, is for the PR sense is huge. Hopefully Usain Bolt will come and play basketball as well. He's had a crack at soccer. He may as well have a crack at something
he's
else.
Trying, you know? Yeah, yeah. I think it was just a publicity stunt for soccer because no one's going.
Well, probably is. I mean, do you see how many people turned up to watch him play? Yeah. Like, if I was the PR manager of Central Coast Mariners, I'd be wrapped. Wouldn't care.
How much do you reckon he's getting?
Oh, I don't know.
Millions, wouldn't it?
You'd think so.
Isn't that past the salary cap?
To live in Gosford?
Yeah, you'd have to pay me a lot.
How's Gosford going?
Did you? Coast Rock FM. I got fired for calling it Roastcock FM by accident. But I was there when I was 18, and I'd just been on Home and Away because I did this little part on Home and Away back in the Danny Minogue, Craig McLaughlin days.
Oh, yeah. Dieter Brummer?
Yeah. And I thought I was just the shit. Yeah. I had my own little under-18s disco that I was DJing on Saturday nights, and I was... A bit Gosford. Of a maniac on the air, so didn't happen anymore.
You're not welcome back in Gosford anymore.
Gosford doesn't love me. Oh, mate, well, it's so good to have a chat to you because, you know, you obviously we do the same thing. I'm a presenter, you're a presenter, yeah. Voiceovers, hosting shows,
making
all that kind
content,
of stuff.
Mate, just yeah, creating.
Exactly. So, and you've got a content company, I guess you'd call it, which is called Your Brand Live.
Yeah, that's right.
And so you team up with brands. I noticed not just that, you're doing events for Twitter and obviously Facebook, but the actual company Twitter. I think you did a political thing recently.
Well, no, we had one with Jack Dorsey, who's the CEO of Twitter. He came on, he was having a chat with Koshy. So we just essentially, as a business, we go and we shoot it like this and live stream it out, particularly for Twitter, because Twitter are really trying to push that live feel. Mm. I think a lot of people look at Twitter and think, oh, yeah, it's just somewhere where people go and comment on TV shows.
Yeah.
You know?
And politicians get on there and announce shit.
Yeah, exactly. But really, there's a huge market for a lot of Twitter users to be. I mean, it's my first source of news. When I wake up in the morning, bang, what's happened in the world? Twitter. So they're doing stuff. We did some launch, Troye Sivan, Delta Goodrum, Five Sauce, had them live, all talking to their fans.
Yeah,
so,
cool.
Look, it's good fun. It's, like I said, variety's the spice of life, Michael.
Yeah, and so you're doing that with Scott Tweedy.
Yes.
You and him are good mates.
We are good mates. He's over in America at the moment. I think he's actually doing, I don't know if I'm allowed to say what he's doing. He's doing something in the Maldives with some very pretty
women. He just did a cross
women.
On the TV this morning. He was in Vegas, but he's actually in the Maldives.
He's heading there next. But he's in Vegas for Studio 10.
Oh, cool.
So he's staying busy and all as well. But yeah, look, it's an ever-changing landscape. You'd know you went to VidCon over the weekend down in Melbourne. That's like...
I was a guest of our friends at Facebook.
Yeah.
It was nice of them to give us a ticket and go and check it all out. And if you know what VidCon is, it's basically a whole heap of media companies and it could be tech companies as well showing off the latest cameras. I noticed Blackmagic were a sponsor, and that's all upstairs in the industry area, and then downstairs it's like a creche for like YouTubers. Yeah. There's screaming YouTube kids running around,
now up against, like in the past getting TV jobs, we're up against Grant Denyer and Jules London, whoever else. Yeah. Now we're up against 18-year-olds from their bedroom who have a million subscribers, and that's who's viewing content.
I met a few of them, and they literally don't leave their bedrooms.
Yeah.
They're either playing video games or they're doing the YouTube vlogging.
And my sister said to me last night, she goes, well, my daughter, so my niece, who's, I think she's 8, you know, she watches unboxing videos, and she watches this girl who just makes slime on YouTube and has thousands of followers, and it's like...
My little nephews. I used to get trouble for playing video games. My little nephews, they watch other kids playing video games on YouTube for hours. And now, rather than getting in trouble for playing video games, they're in trouble for watching kids play video games.
That's exactly what my sister said. She goes, I don't know what to say to my son, because he goes, I want to be a gamer. And she's like, I can't say there's no career in that,
there's
because
so
you can actually earn millions of dollars.
Like, it was a sellout show here in Melbourne on the weekend. They had some video game championships on because a lot of the people from VidCon went over there as well. And some of these kids are making millions of dollars in their sponsorships, and they should, from the amount of money that the video games make. I mean, I think there was a study done recently where like the top 10 video games were making more than the top 100 films.
Yep, I can believe that. I mean, there was something my wife was saying from VidCon, because she went, that there's like in the top 100 most influential people in the world, I think, I don't know if it's money or what, 35 of them are YouTubers.
Yeah.
That says all you need to know about what's going on.
Do you know what? I saw there was a boxing match between Logan Paul and another YouTuber.
KSI or something.
Yeah, from the UK. So they had this feud going on online, and they said, let's have a fight. So they booked a venue, and they made $30 million from pay-per-view.
Apparently, it was a bit of a fizzer of a fight. I didn't see it.
It was a tie. Right. I just watched the highlights. Right. But I mean, they look
didn't
like
pay for it,
they look like they were literally belting each other. Yeah. We're reviewing it, so we can show a bit of it now. But
sure,
they made that much money out of it, which is just ridiculous.
There's a lot of money. We're a generation too late. I mean, we can still do it.
We could still do it. Don't give up.
Sorry, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. But I feel like there's everyone wants to do it now.
Mm.
You know, like there was legitimately a skill in TV presenting.
Yeah.
When I got into in 2006, not to say that you know, I'm not trying to big note myself, but in 06 when I got in, and you were a lot earlier than I, you know, you were up against a lot of people, but there was still this kind of like, if you could do it, you had to have that skill.
Yeah.
And now it's like, you just need a camera, really. Yeah,
exactly. And but anyone can watch then it. Again, at VidCon, I went to VidCon earlier this year in LA as well, and it's huge. It's like 30,000 people go to the thing. And they keep putting these vloggers and YouTube kids on stage to host the events. Yeah. And they're hopeless.
I know.
I mean, they can sit in their bedroom and they can edit together the highlights of what they said that day. But when you put them on stage in front of a crowd, useless.
Well, that will always be a skill. Standing in front of 100,000 people or whatever it is, whether I'm at the MCG doing Hawthorn or you and I at the Com Games, whatever, that's a skill.
There was a couple of YouTubers that were hosting one of the main shows at VidCon this weekend, and they came out, "Hi, everybody. Okay, let's party." And they looked down at the screen. There was an auto cue there. And they looked at each other, and then they're looking at the other screen, and they're like, "We don't know what to say."
Hello, someone can.
Because the screens weren't working, so.
that look of someone's face, like, oh my, I mean.
The poor kids, and they were freaking out, and they walk off stage for a minute, and then they walk back on, and they just started talking to people in the front row. The kids didn't care, they're just screaming because they're going to see their fans.
Because was your Big Brother stuff live?
Yeah.
So you know what it's like. Like when you're live, you know, it's a lot of fun. I think it's the best, most fun. But, you know, things can go wrong and you're caught there. Were you ever caught like, because I think of Sarah Murdoch when she got the names wrong on Australia's Next Top Model.
That
would be the ultimate worst nightmare of being like, oh my God, and I've got to correct
live
this
TV.
Live on air.
Yeah, well, what about that guy that was hosting Miss America?
Steve Harvey.
He announced the wrong girl that was the winner.
But did you, I haven't had too many bad live ones.
Dude. I can tell you two of mine that are the worst. So, Big Brother finale 2008, millions of people watching.
Oh wait, who's that season?
God, I can't
There's
remember.
There's too many. Yeah.
One of hundreds.
Okay.
But yeah, Bree, Amar, Ryan Fitzgerald, and myself, and I said to the producers, I want to sing a song. Why don't we sing John Farnham's "Playing to Win"? That's going to be awesome. Come down there, start the show. So I said to the, I've never sung on TV before. This is probably a good reason.
And never will again.
And I said to the director, I said, can we get the words up on screen just in case they can't hear what's going on? Because the crowd's like 2,000 screaming people. And he goes, mate, no, we can't do that. And I'm like, okay, well, fair enough.
Is this on the night or in rehearsal?
Yeah, on the night, yeah. Oh. And he said, no. And I'm like, okay, well, we'll see what happens. Anyway, I'm standing up there at the end of that gangplank that goes down onto the stage on Big Brother. And the crowd's screaming and the cameras are moving, but I can't hear any of the music. And so I'm just gone.
If you want me, come and get me.
Am I on now? And I'm like, and it just threw me and I lost the words. I couldn't hear the music. And I just started making up words. Even when I got onto the stage and I knew where my spot was, I just like, yeah, baby. Whoa. And it was live and it was the worst television moment of my life. I probably shouldn't be talking about it now, but I have one more.
Okay.
You thought that was bad.
No, yeah.
This is when we're still on Channel 10 and sometimes they get me to host the fireworks every year in Sydney. And I'd done all my bits. Like Paris Hilton was in town. We got Fitzy to dress as Paris Hilton. It was really bad. They wrote about it in the papers the next day, said it was disgusting and whatever. And it was the worst New Year's Eve telecast ever. And probably more so because of what I did. They said, "Oh, Mike, we need to cross to you now to throw to the 2008 highlights package, and just say everything that's coming up in 2009 or something like that." And all I heard was 2008, 2009 highlights. I'm like, "Okay, cool. Welcome back. That's all the shows have been awesome on 10 in 2008, and now going to be even better on 7 in 2009." Oh man. So bad. I got
seven. Wait, so you were saying
I got the stations mixed up. I got the years mixed up. It looked like I was drunk or having some sort of a brain blip. So bad. And I got all these.
And you've never worked again in this industry.
That was my last year with Channel 10. Oh, no, we did another show called Download on Channel 10 for a couple of seasons after that. I got all these text messages from like program managers and producers saying, "Are you serious? What are you doing? Are you kidding me?" And I'm like, making me feel even worse.
Oh, jeez, you don't need that.
But I mentioned Channel 7 and the best message I got was from my mum and said, "Hey, Happy New Year, Mike. Love Kerry Stokes." Good one, Mum. Just that final boot in there.
Boot in the guts.
Nah, well, man, it's been so cool talking to you. And you had a bit of an accident today on the way here.
Yes, on the...
So like, you still came. What a legend. He still shows up for the show.
Came to the parking garage and I reversed my car in and it, you know, and it's going beep, 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 beep. Yeah. And then it goes beep. I didn't hit that beep. So I was still going back. And then I just hear this almighty smash. And my windscreen is back through the bloody thing, and it's anyway.
You know, I had the sketchy girls I was going to interview, and they haven't got back to me, so I don't know what the hell was going on.
Damn you, sketchy!
And then I thought, oh, here we go. Sure, he can't make it. He's having trouble with parking. Oh, now he's had a car crash.
Of course he has, mate. Of course he has.
But there's proof. he did an Insta story.
It's on my Insta story. It's all real.
You can always back it up. Well, mate, we've covered everything. But before you go, I just want to... There's a lot of kids that might watch your show. We're talking about kids working in television and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
What kind of advice would you give to them who want to work in TV or...
Well, we've just talked...
Who want to do what we do and how...
Well, we've just talked about it. I think the biggest piece of advice would be go out and make whatever it is that you want to make. And the fact of the matter is, in this day and age, the one benefit to that is if you've got a camera... And you've got an idea, you're halfway there. So I would my tip would be go out, practice, watch yourself, because I think self-assessment's a real key thing to getting better.
Yeah.
Watch it back and don't be afraid to go, oh, maybe I should try this, or I don't like how I say that, or whatever it is. That's a big thing. I teach a few people presenting, so that's one of the tips I give. I'll charge you for this. But I think it's just get out there and make it, because at the end of the day, you don't know what's going to be interesting to people in the next year or two or five or whatever, and it might be your passion. Which would be, if you just happen to be someone who loves, I mean, can you imagine if you were the person who just first came up with unboxing stuff?
Yeah.
You're literally filming yourself open
Isn't
presents.
That's ridiculous.
And now it's thousands and thousands
unboxing,
of people watching
playing video
it.
Games.
All that stuff. So that would be my one tip, would be go out, just make it, just do it. There's no harm in doing it.
It's not going to cost you anything other than your time.
No.
Just get out there, use your camera.
Steal our jobs.
Even if it's on an iPhone, just shoot it and do it.
Steal our jobs. That's what we want. We don't want to work in this town
There's
anymore.
There's plenty of work to
There's
go
heaps
around.
There's heaps of work. There's heaps of
it's
work.
It's not just 7, 9 and 10 anymore. No. You know, the ABC, I guess it's sort of fading
They're
away.
They're still hanging in
Is
there.
Is that viable?
SBS,
anymore?
If you
Why
like
do we
making
have
pornography,
the ABC?
You can do that as well. It's up to you.
Porn's always a good last resort, isn't it?
Well, SBS will play you if you want to be on free-to-air TV. Otherwise, you can find a place on the dark web.
That's true.
You know?
Plenty of them.
There's a dark web out there. But I feel like we can't finish it. I feel like this, it's a lie. If I don't...
What are you doing?
I want to get on the mic.
I'm getting on
the mic.
On the mic with Sure Tap. This is the kind of show that you can expect
really
with me.
Really get on top of.
And him. Oh, what is that in your pocket? Is that another microphone?
I think that's my phone buzzing.
TV legend Sure Tap. Thank you for being on the mic.
Thank you, sir.
Good on you, buddy.
Pleasure.